Fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness rove. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Let's stand. Fill my way. Soon the race will be o'er and I'll travel no more. Abide in my home above. Let me sing, Blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Amen, that's your desire. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every way with love. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day, glory. Song and a smile. Fill my way every day. Amen. Fill my way. Oh, fill my way. Glory. Hallelujah. Let me walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. With a song and a smile. So have a smile, turn around, shake somebody's hand, say God bless you with a smile on your face. Amen. A song and a smile. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord. You're glad to be in his house this morning. Praise the Lord. You come expecting this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on around us, we should always have a song and a smile worshiping our Lord. He's worthy. Amen. Let's sing 512, Let the Dew of Heaven. I hope you're thirsty this morning. He's the one that can satisfy that longing soul. Thank you, Jesus. Let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsty soul. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Let the Holy Spirit come and take complete control. Let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsty soul. Yes, Lord Jesus. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Let the Holy Spirit come and take complete control. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Amen. Let's make it personal. Thank you, Jesus. Let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsty soul. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Let the Holy Spirit come and take complete control. Soul. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Let the Holy Spirit come and take complete control.
Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Michael, you want to help us this morning? Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing 482, Learning to Lean. I'm learning to lean.
Learning to lean, I'm learning to lean. Thank you, Jesus. To lean, I'm learning. To lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning. To whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus.
Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Think about it. Glory. Wherever I go, I'll praise him whenever I can. Amen. We got an opportunity to praise him this morning. Surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus. Did it lift you? Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wherever I go, praise him whenever I can. I'll praise him, for his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, one scripture said, be ready to give a rightful answer for what all men asked of you. I thought part of the scripture I'm reading this morning. I was in the barber shop the other day. When I walked in, they were discussing, should we go to church or just gather wherever we wanted to? And he said, well, I don't have an answer for that at the Bible, but anyway, I said, well, there's an answer in the Bible for what you asked him. But that was all he wanted to hear, what he had spoken. And people ask you questions with the answer already in that question. So, but if you know what Jesus Christ wants, you answer the way he tell you to. We're going to read this morning from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 19 through 31. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful and thankful, Lord, for your presence, being with us, Lord, for guiding and leading us in the truth and understanding of your word. Father, let us hold fast to that which you have given unto us, regardless of what other men may say. Lord, your Holy Spirit will lead us, and we thank you for it. Wherever we are, whether we're in sickness, in health, in pain, or feeling well, Lord, let us hold fast unto you, for we love you and we thank you. God, guide us in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read from you Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 19 through 31. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness of the blood of Jesus. And having an high priest over the house of God.
Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith,
having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. but a certain and fearful looking for the judgment of the fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. How much sober punishment suppose ye shall he be the worthy who has trodden under the foot of the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sacrificed an unholy thing and has done despite the Spirit of grace? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So fail not to assemble yourself together, especially as we see these days and this time. My. There's no hiding place but except in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I was speaking with a friend of mine from Ukraine yesterday, and he was just telling me, you know, how, you know, they grew up with Russians all around them. I mean, it was just normal. And, you know, what he's saying, Putin is saying is he's trying to take it back 300 years ago, you know, to how things were at certain times. And they've really seen him as like he's lost his mind, like he's out of his mind. And, I said, you know, in my mind, just talking to him, I'm like, my, we know it's just spirits. It's spirits. But God is having his purpose brought forth, you know. And, of course, they don't know how this thing is going to stop or will it stop. But, you know, they're saying he's going to go, you know, once he get Ukraine, he's going to keep going. And he said it didn't just start now. He's been doing this. He's been preparing this, you know, the different countries over there, Georgia and Belarus, all those areas. He said he's been going in and taking over these places. It just... now it's more visible. You know, he's been on this mission, you know, to reclaim what USSR, all these countries that split off, and NATO has been taking these countries over, you know, for some years now. And that's kind of what he's opposed. So he's trying to bring the USSR back together. And my, you know, and he's telling me the missiles that the U.S. got, I guess we got some submarine over there, got like 20 atomic bombs aimed at 20 cities in Russia. So Putin knows if he does anything, and they got their weapons, as we know from our prophets. So it's like any day, any time, you know. So we just got to hide in Jesus Christ. He's that strong tower. Amen. We don't even have to fear because we know that God has us in his hands. Amen. Let's sing Blessed is the Name of the Lord as we get ready for the word. Name of the Lord is a strong tower. We can run in it and be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord Most High. Amen. What is that name? Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is, what is it? A strong tower. Amen. Let us stand. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is, what strong tower, the righteous run into it. Amen. And they are saved. With all your heart, Jesus is the name of the Lord, as our brother comes out.
Jesus is the name of the Lord.
Good job, McGowan. Good job.
Lord, Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most high, oh, most high. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most high.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved.
Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Aren't you glad there's a place we can go to?
Yes. Amen.
There's a pavilion. There's a hiding place that we can go and hide.
Amen.
And the Lord will be right there. We don't have to go looking for him. He's already there. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. Wonderful musicians, as always, with a cumulative age of about 12. If it wasn't for some. God bless you. Boy, we had a good time in Bible study last night, didn't we? Man, that room was full. Yeah. And for those of you who were there, you already heard the sermon I'm going to preach because we talked about it yesterday, but we're going to do it this afternoon. So good to have our visitors with us today. And you've been here before or not? I've been here before? Okay. All right, God bless you. Just praise the Lord in the way that you know him. And if we say something that's a little bit off, then just pray for us. Amen. I want to give the technicians a hand. All this is brand new, and they're still working the kinks out. And poor Brother Anderson, I thought that gray hair was because of his kids, but it's not. I think it's because of us. But he's crawled up in the top of this ceiling. You know how tall he is, and I'm glad he wasn't claustrophobic. But they pulled wires, and they worked yesterday all day, and they're still working right now to try to get this thing upgraded where we can, where you can see better. And as we all get older, we need bigger fonts. And the older people said, amen. Amen. The ones that can hear me, amen. There we go. Let's turn our Bibles to John. We just have fun around. We're just family. Just family. Amen. Our brother and sister just came and visited another set of their family members. But good to have them with us. Just, we love you with the love of the Lord. Like I said, Bible study was wonderful last night. We had a good time. Also, remember, Brother Bob will be speaking for us Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, as usual. Also, remember, March the 19th, we'll be having our youth service. That will be on Saturday. Brother Matthew Watkins will be with us. And then there'll only be one service on Sunday. All right? Also, remember now, and I want to show you something this afternoon, if we can get it up on the screen. The brothers and sisters from Ohio, I know most of you remember they came down, when was it? Summertime? Maybe. They came down here, you know, not too long ago. No, it wasn't summertime. It was wintertime. Brother Isaac and the different ones, they have about 13 or 14 people that watch in every Sunday and every Wednesday. Well, they've fixed up a little place in their basement to have church. And when we sing, they sing. When we play the guitar, they play the guitar. When we take communion, they take communion. It's just a wonderful thing. So anyway, they've got this place fixed up, and I'll bring you some pictures of it. They really have spent a lot of time and a lot of money. But we're going to go up there March the 25th through the 27th. Sister Jen and I and Brother Luis and Sister Christine and Brother Boyd is going to go, and we're going to dedicate that building for them. Dedicate the basement downstairs. So we'll be up there. Brother Bob will be doing both services that Sunday. And also remember April the 15th, 16th, and 17th. talked to Brother Homer Longoria yesterday. He said he's feeling okay. But his stent that they're going to put in is something happened inside of his veins that have calcified. So it's hardened. And they can't just put the stent in. They got to go in there and actually drill it out and then put the stent in. So he's going to have that done March the 16th. So let's just keep him in prayer March the 16th. And then Brother Homer will be with us preaching that during that April 15th, 16th, 17th. Brother Jewel Forney will be doing Friday night. Saturday will be Brother Homer Longoria. We'll be having a fellowship meeting, and we'll be eating afterwards here like we usually do with a fellowship meeting. It starts at 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock on Friday evening. And then one service on Sunday, Brother Mike Olting will be doing our Easter Sunday morning service. So just keep that in your prayer. And we'll get together and get all the food and stuff together in just a little bit. So, also, Sister Monica, Sister Anna, and Sister Rachel's class will be practicing after first service at 12:45. Also, we'll be practicing after second service, and this is the singing for the April meetings that we just discussed. So just keep that in your heart and mind, and y'all practice. 12:45 today, come up here, and then after second service. So I believe that's everything that we got. We appreciate, like I said, the technicians doing. They're doing an outstanding job back there in the back. It's taking more to run, but they've got more to give. So, and we have another visitor. Well, she's been here before, but she's now revealed. She was hidden. She was hidden inside of Anna. But we have a new baby, Cambry, with us today. So I can't even remember her middle name. Cambry Dale is good enough for me right now. But good to have her with us. They're back there in the back. So. Like I said, she's been here before, but she's in a different form. Does that sound familiar? Now she's being revealed. Amen. And just pray for them. Let's go to John 1, verse 1, and let's pray before we get started. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the people that have come here, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. Now I pray, Lord, that you'd take over this service, that you be the active participant, Lord. You be the one that does the speaking and the hearing, Lord. And reveal to us, Lord, what we need for this end time. Father, we pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick, be with the ones, Lord, overseas in the Ukraine and all the different believers around the world. Lord, it's just become a everyday thing, Lord, for something to come up and there be a sickness or a death or something going on. But, Lord, you said when we hear wars and rumors of wars, to look up because our redemption draws nigh. Thank you, God, that you sent us a prophet to tell us these things so we don't worry so much, that we know that not one atomic bomb is going to hit this earth until the bride's out of here. So we pray, Lord, that you would just take the fear away from the people. Let us focus on you because we've got to finish this journey, Lord. This journey has got to be completed, and we which are alive and remain shall be waiting, Lord, for the resurrection. And that's what we're heading to now, Lord. We pray that you'd sanctify us, Lord, for this journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, this is Who is the Son of Man? Who is this Son of Man, part 23? So a little slow, but we're all Southerners, and that's okay. But I've been enjoying it. I saw some things yesterday that I had not seen before, and I'll share them with you this afternoon. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, let's go to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now remember, as we've been talking on this series, that we know that pertains to Jesus Christ. We know that God promised us a redeemer. And that redeemer had to be a kinsman. He couldn't be Melchizedek, even though Melchizedek was God, because he was not our brother. This man that's going to take away the sin of the world is going to have to be a man, a flesh man that's going to come into this earth, be born like me and you, except without sex, but born like me and you. Amen? And that's going to be the Savior of the world. And that is what the Scripture calls the Son of Man, because that is a man, a God-man in human flesh. Well, now, what we've been talking about, though, is why just say that about Jesus? I thought the Bible said, ye are gods, who the word of the Lord comes to. And the prophet of God tells us, he said, with the Holy Ghost inside of you, he said, that's deity dwelling inside of you. So where is that word being made flesh now? It's being made flesh in me and you. Amen? Because that's our mandate. That's our call in the end time. As Brother Bob and the different ones, we've all kind of got on the same page a little bit. But that's good because it's the time. It's the time for that. Sure, there's a time we still got people we need saved that are lost and all these different things. But there's a time that we have been predestinated, we're going to read it today, to adoption. All right? Which is placing, not just your new birth. And this afternoon, not this morning, but this afternoon, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. Because your placing is not your birth. There's a new birth, and then there's an adoption, or the placing, or the manifestation. And you can have the new birth without being adopted. But you can't get adopted without having the new birth. Amen? And the new birth is the birth of the Word inside of your heart. It's the Lord Jesus Christ residing in your soul, not just temporary. Amen. We okay with that. But remember, when he left here, he gave a commission that he was going to have a bride on the earth, a body that was going to continue his ministry. His ministry wasn't over when he ascended. No, that's just when he got started. And it had to be started in what? Man in human flesh with God inside of him. Right? That's kind of the way Jesus was, except remember, we're born of carnality and he was not born of carnality. But he came to what? Bring it all back or redeem us back to our inheritance. Remember the quote that I love that you I can almost quote it verbatim in the adoption series where Brother Branham said that Jesus didn't come to give you an inheritance. And boy, when you preach that to people that are not well taught, they'll look at you cross-eyed. Have that furrow in between their, you know, what? Think about it. Jesus didn't come to give you an inheritance. Our Bible tells us that our inheritance was in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Amen? So that's where our inheritance was. We just got lost from it. Jesus Christ had to come down to what? Bring you to your inheritance. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? What was he doing? He was making a way. I am the door. I am the way. He kept telling us that he was the passageway from life, from death unto life. But that inheritance was not developed down here. Redemption was. But redemption was before the foundation of the world, too. But your inheritance was that your name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, if you are the bride of Jesus Christ. That's a big, if is a big word. If you're born again, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, the eternal section. So if we would, let's go to Colossians 1 and let's continue on. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Now look that word up, and we'll look in the Greek lexicon. That is to be first, or hold the first place. Now, do we do that with God? Do we give him first place in everything? No, we don't. If you do, you need to come up here. But we're heading toward that, though. We're heading to that. It's not something insurmountable. It's not something we can't get to. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect. This is my Father in heaven is perfect. At growth development, as we were talking about last Sunday, you know, little Mordecai was mortified when I brought him up here. But he had all his faculty to drive a car. But because of his immaturity... That's why some of us, you know, it's not bad for Morty at 9 years old to be immature. When you're 49 and immature, we got a problem. Okay? But that's what God does too. God says, okay, you're a baby. I don't expect you to do all these things. I don't expect you to handle yourself or conduct yourself like somebody that's been in the, you know, been born again for 30, 40 years. But he does expect us to grow. He gives us the tools to grow in grace and knowledge. But to be the first or to hold the first place, do all things that we, you know, the Bible says, seek ye first what? The kingdom of heaven. what we were talking about last night. What is the kingdom of heaven? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The promise. And that's what gets you into this line of adoption. You're just, Dad, many years ago, he said, look, he said, Satan, God's not going to adopt Satan's kids. He adopts his own kids. Amen? So he must have children. And having children, we are in the line of adoption. Let's continue on a little bit further. Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received, now look, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I'm cautious. We talk about Ukraine and different things. Be cautious about what you see and what you hear. Because there was something on Facebook the other day that showed people standing out in this field, and here comes these rockets, and here comes these jets, and boom, 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 and bam, 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 and it told about this rocket and that rocket and this Patriot missile and that going on, and I thought, man, that's pretty neat that you can sit there and watch that. You know, it's all out war. Well, I walked in church Wednesday night, and Brother Joe Canada said, did you see that? I said, yeah. He said, it was fake. It was a video game that somebody had superimposed people standing in front of it watching, and it was a stupid video game. So do we believe everything we see? You better not. Amen, you better not. And then the phone starts ringing when he's talking about nuclear. Well, that's my point. Have you received this? Is everything something fearful to you? The prophet of God told us, and I am going to... Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet? Amen. God sent a prophet in the end time. Okay. Just wanted to make sure we was talking to the same crowd. Anyway. But he said not one bomb, nuclear bomb, would hit this earth while the bride's still here. So I don't care they can talk about all this nuclear this and nuclear that. Folks, put that fear away. Put that fear away. But now the only fear you better have is whether you're born again or not. Because if you're born again, you're under that pavilion. You're under that shelter. And you will take a rapture before that happens. So don't worry about it. Phones goes to ringing. Did you hear? Lord mercy. All they done was bombed a place where they made nuclear, whatever it was. Power plants, what it was. Come on. Quit wasting time. Let's don't be, and I say silly women. I read that scripture a lot in my head. And it's not you, silly women. Y'all already started laughing before I was going to tell you what it was. But it's bride. It's the church. Silly women pulled away from every little something that goes on. Everybody goes to the bomb shelter and won't come to church. This is my shelter. This is my pavilion that God has given me a place to come to. Listen, folks, do you have fear when you come here? That ought to shed at the door. You should have no fear here. Oh, I'm afraid that... No, don't be afraid. God's give us a resting place. He's give us a kingdom. That, listen, you know what? We're not going to need nuclear fuel. The Bible said the Lamb's a light. The Lamb will produce all the light we need, but you know what? He's got little bitty lights. He's got me and you to shine the light down here. And before I get any further, the Bible study next, we have it for first Saturday of every month from 6 to 8. Next month, we have a topic. It is the rapture, the millennium, and the future home. We're going to take all those three topics and discuss them, and if you have any questions about them, write them down. And for those of you that don't come, I don't mean that bad, but those of you that can't come, we do record it. And I think Brother Joe didn't put it online, so you can. I know people can't get there on Saturday night, so that's okay. We have people that live a long way from here that couldn't come and then go back. So we understand that, so that's why Brother Joe and the technicians, they've always recorded what we say. It's totally informal. Drink coffee, drink a Coca-Cola. Sister Gabby brings us some glorious, wonderful, lots of stuff to eat. And so does Sister Trudy. Man, brownies in the millennium. I think that's the next thing we're going to talk on. Chocolate and German chocolate cake. Nobody's yet to bring me a German chocolate cake at Bible study, though, so that's okay. That's all right. Didn't even get one for my birthday. Look, I'm going to ramble on. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, look, they are the sons of God. And really, Brother Luis Wednesday night, he just nailed it on the head. To help you realize all those things that are positive already happening. Now are we the sons of God. Now, but we got to go to the part that says waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So there's a waiting period or a placing like Morty. Morty can't drive a car. It would be a disaster. But that same guy, if the Lord tarries another 8 years, he'll be 17. He'll be able to drive a car because he has come to some point of maturity, and then he passed a test that the state of Georgia said you got to pass this test before you can drive. You got to show these skills. Well, that's what we've been talking or getting ready to start talking about is start using those skills that you have. Amen. Same way we were talking about the other day about going to school. Use the skills that you were given in school. Amen. Same way here. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Daddy, Daddy, or Abba, Father. We all become babies. We all start as babies. Every Christian that's ever started has started a baby, except the 120 in the upper room. Because they were tutored and trained by God himself for 3.5 years. Right? So they were a mature church. Peter walked straight out, says, this is that. And then just a few days later, he's walking through the courtyard, and he sees this guy that can't walk, and he says, silver and gold have I none. Where did he get that from? He got the power and authority. Listen, God had already given him, Jesus Christ had already given him authority to cast out devils, do all those things while he was here. And then when they got the Holy Ghost, they know now how to use it. Justification, sanctification. By the time you get to the Holy Ghost, you ought to know at least a little bit. Number one, that you're in the family. And number two, that God's going to use you. He's just not going to let you sit there and dry up as a baby unless you want to. Take the bottle. Little Cambry back there, man, she's so little. She's so fragile. But give her about another 20 years. Lisa and Terrence will be old. Give you another 20 years, and she'll be this beautiful, blonde, I hope, girl that's been through college, hopefully, by then. And you understand what I mean? That's the same way with God. But I was reading a quote just a few minutes ago, well, this morning. The only difference in me and you, though, is we don't know what our kids are going to do. We just give them the best guidance, and we give them the best care, and we send them to school. We buy their books. We give them car, gas money, and all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But God knows where you're going. We don't know where our kids naturally are going, but God knows where his kids are going. Therefore, he can place you in a place, in a teaching ministry or a evangelical ministry or this ministry or that ministry. We'll read it here in a few minutes, but I just don't think that sitting under a evangelistic message all the time, you're not going to come to adoption. Because Brother Adam said teaching places you. Now there's your placing. Like Brother Adam said, you can put an egg under a dog and it'll hatch. But it's going to realize who it is after a while. Amen. It's going to look funny. Remember the eagle and all that in the barnyard. The eagle looked a little funny. Why? Because it was different. But he was born in the chicken yard. Amen. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We already read that. All right, let's go now. We're going to talk about headship in just a few minutes. And let's read what Brother Brown said on the Laodicean church age. Number one, but now he's standing in the midst of the church. As he stands there revealing who he is in this last age, he calls himself the author of the creation of God. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. God's going to make sure he has adult children. He's going to, because he already saw it. By foreknowledge, by predestination, he's already saw what was going to happen. You and I just got to fall in line. know our position. That's what we'll talk about this afternoon. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church, our bride. If he's the beginning of the creation, you and I are the rest of that creation. Amen. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. Now, I took a little bit out to save time. I took one paragraph. I'm sorry. I am not editing Brother Branham. Just for time, Brother Branham says about two paragraphs later, this is the true revelation of God. What is the true revelation of God? That he's going to have a church, a bride. It's going to be his and not the devil's. It's not going to be denomination. It's going to be the bride. That's just the way he's going to have it. Because he's already seen it happen. You just got to figure out whether you're a part of it or not. Search your own salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible tells us. All right, let's look too. There's two or three things we were talking about the other day, and one was dispensation. I know the prophet of God said he was a dispensationalist, but in the Bible. It says in the dispensation of the fullness of time. So whoever wrote the Bible must believe in dispensations. You and I always, we believe in dispensations or stages. I got it written up there. Our anointing. There's a different anointing for your different age. Because remember, Luther and Wesley, Luther's anointing was that just shall live by faith. He could sit in the pub and drink beer and smoke a pipe and talk about God and be born again. You can't do that. Different dispensation, different stage of God's word, and it's a different anointing. Same God. Same God as we were talking last night. We were talking about angels and guardian angels. Listen, it's the same God. It's just different anointings, and I believe we do have guardian angels. Mine, sister, is beat all to pieces because he slaps me in the back of the head all the time. But it's not a different God. It's just a different anointing. Jesus got an anointing for his ministry on the River Jordan. That didn't make him God. He was God when he was born. The Bible said he was born Emmanuel, God with us. And on the River Jordan, he was what? He was anointed for a 3.5-year job to do, a ministry to do. And then the prophet of God tells you, I believe it's in this same series. Yes, it is. In the adoption series, he said the Spirit left him in the garden. When after the Spirit left him in the garden, he died. It was an anointing that left him, that same anointing that came on him 3.5 years ago. That anointing came off of him so he could die. Because without anointing on him, he could not die. Many times you read where he slipped through the crowd or they took him out and were going to throw him off a cliff. He just changed their eyesight and walked right through among them. Just like Elisha did in Gehazi when they changed the Syrian's eyes, and there stood Elisha. They said, who are you looking for? We're looking for Elisha. And we're looking right at him. They were looking right at Elisha. And he so fooled them, he said, oh, I know where the army's at. And he takes them down in the middle of them, and God opens the Syrian's eyes right in the middle of the camp, and there was no battle. God had already won. Do y'all realize that God does that to the devil? He does that to the devil. He lets the devil think he can do anything he wants to with you, and then all of a sudden he'll put you in a situation, and he'll say, oh, look, devil, what do you do with Job? Job wasn't making any noise at all. He was just doing what God said to do. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? He actually took his attention and put it on Job. But see, he so blinded Satan, though, because Satan thought, yeah, I'll make him curse you and die. I'll make him curse the day he was born. Well, he pretty much almost did, but he never cursed God. And then when he got to the very end of it, Satan was like, well, he needs to just die. The Lord said, no, I'm going to give him double what he had to start with. You think he was successful the first time you saw him? You just hang around a little while. I'm going to make him successful again. Same way with me and you. All the trials and tribulations that we go through. Last night, we had a real good testimony service. People testified how God had been with them through their life and the different things they'd done or been taken away from. Well, you know what? That was God. That was God doing that for us through an angels. I believe in angels. I just believe there's all bunches of them. There's bunches of angels. All right? But they're all put here, the Bible says, for the heirs of salvation, to guide you and direct you. That's just the way I see it. You may see it a different way, but that's okay. But look, we believe in dispensations and stages and anointings. And then what will happen is, and I didn't bring the quote this time, but the prophet of God tells us, he said, here's the box. And this is the church ages. He was talking about the church age. He said each church age had an anointing, and they couldn't do anything but go by that anointing. Luther couldn't preach Wesley's message. Wesley couldn't preach Pentecost's message. The people took this message and were sealed in. The next one took it and were sealed in. Next one took it and were sealed in. Well, guess which one we're in? We're in the box of adoption. Where we have to come to maturity. Listen, we've got all the resources that none of the other ages had. Look at the resources we have. We can put the message on our watch. And this whole wall used to be, when this church was first started, that whole wall was 8-inch reels. You couldn't carry hardly one in a pocketbook. And now you can carry all 1,100 of them, plus the Bible, in 26 translations. On your Apple Watch. Well, then what are we doing about it? There's no excuse for us to say, I can't carry all that whole bunch of books around, or I can't carry them 8-inch reels everywhere I go. And then, see, remember, though, the tape player was this big. It wasn't just the 8-inch reels. You had to have a tape player. Some of you are shaking your head because that's what we came through. I mean, the thing was this big, and you turned it on, and you hardly couldn't hear it. But look at now. We've got everything we need. But once God gives it to us, he requires that we use it. We can't have any excuse because we've moved from dispensation of the Holy Ghost and even the dispensation of God sent a prophet. I believe Brother Brown said this is a bride age. I believe that. He said this is the bride age. So we moved into the bride age, not negating Brother Brown. Listen, there's no way you can understand anything without that man coming. I don't know why in the world people want to nitpick him. He took me to God. He showed me God more clear than anybody has ever shown me God. Amen? And every time I read stories and read all the things that he's talking about, I get a clear picture of this God that I'm serving. Amen? That's why, but we don't turn our face always to the prophet, though. The prophet, Jesus Christ. But we heard him through that trumpet. But now listen, your mandate and my mandate now is to make that become alive. Because without making it come alive, it was in vain. And God won't do anything in vain. He didn't send a mighty man on this earth just for no purpose at all. He sent it so that me and you could receive this message from God and be able to talk to God more clear than anybody's ever been able to talk to God. Even the prophets in the Old Testament, they wanted to see God like me and you see God today. Listen to this. We're talking about dispensations, questions and answers on the seals. We've already read this, but let me read it again. Everybody all right? I'm kind of slowing down a little bit, you know. Background a little bit more. That's okay. We got plenty of time. Brother Branham, he's preaching the seals. The most powerful messages he said he's ever preached in his life come in March of 1963 when the Lord, I believe, adopted that man and gave him the keys, gave him the checkbook, and whatever he wrote, that's what it was going to be. The seals opened to the prophet, and he preached six of them. And he was having questions and answers on the seals. You see it behind me. And Brother Brown comes to the seal, to the six, to, after he preached the six seals, he said, okay, we're going to have questions and answers tomorrow. He said, I don't want any questions except about the seals. Because that's what he'd been preaching for 6 days in a row. And the greatest, I mean, the headstone message was back. It was there. And they asked him, could they wear pantyhose or pajamas to bed? They ask him about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. They ask him about only two questions out of 20 or 30 questions about the seals. So he knew they weren't getting it. And this is what he's going to tell them right here. And I know you that you don't see it. See? I'm just positive that you don't see it. You say, Brother Brown, that's a hard thing to say. I know. But look, let me just say this now. I suppose this is taped, and we know it is. You don't get it. And you're not supposed to get it. So don't try to interpret anything. See, don't try to put your interpretation to it. You'll only get further away. That dispensation was what? Restoring of the gifts. The prophet of God was restoring true worship, just as Elijah did on Mount Carmel. He restored the altar. He put the worship back together. He brought the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism back in power. He brought the Trinity, that it was no good. All the different doctrines, he had brought them to this place right here. And he was saying, okay, you can get that. You've got that. That's your dispensation. Because if you'll continue with this quote, he says, there's voices and images running through this building right now, back and forth. And there is today, more than there was then. Images running through this building. He said, if you had the right crystal, diamond, if you had the right crystal, you could pick up what was, let me just put it in my own words. Brother Brown was saying, look, you're not here to get it because you don't have the right crystal. It's not saying you don't have the new birth, but you don't have the right crystal to pick up the right signal because you're in this dispensation. They weren't in the dispensation of adoption. They were still Pentecostal babies. Sorry to say, but that's what Brother Brown said. Pentecostal babbling babies. And he knew, though, but he didn't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. He said, go on and live a simple Christian life, is the rest of the quote. Because you'll get twisted away from it because it's not your time to see it. But folks, let me say one thing for sure. Thus saith the Lord. This is the time. The crystal is here now. The right people are in the right place at the right time. You and me. I'll read a quote next week. Brother Brown says, brother and sister, he talks about adoption time, where God will pour out anointing on this church, on this bride of Jesus Christ. There'll be an anointing that's coming, and it's here, I believe. But he said, what you've seen in part, hundreds of thousands of people healed. Innumerable amount of people raised from the dead. And he said, that's part. You know why? Because it was one man. Now we've got a bride in Ukraine. We've got a bride in 100 and whatever countries. We got bride there. That miracles are happening every single day. Amen? And greater this than you will do, Jesus said, because I go to my Father. And now where's the Father in you? All right, so let's move on a little bit. So don't interpret it, he said, because you'll get further away from it. He laid it out in that message that there's a group coming with the right kind of crystal that's been taught right, that's come to maturity. Because as I was speaking a couple of weeks ago, you will never understand the revelation of the seven seals without coming to adoption. That's just the way it is. That's just the way the dispensations fall. That's just the way the stages are. Immature Christians cannot understand the seals. Because the seals is given for what? The redemption of your body. Not to save you. Not to save you. There's not a salvation issue. But if you're sitting here today and you are in the same place you were when you first got born again, that you got malnourished somewhere. Somewhere you didn't get sheep food. And we've all wasted our time, okay? We've all wasted our time in different places and different things and different... I wasted mine in the world, okay? But thank God he called one time. And I answered that one. And so did you, amen? You know why? Because everybody's got to be in the right place at the right time. The actors have got to be on the stage. Your writers are going to have to be where they are. Your anointing is going to have to be exactly where it's at. And I know, Luis, I'm going to tell you anyway. Have you ever watched the movie Stargate? Louise always. Yeah, it's on Netflix. I'm just kidding. But anyway, there's a gate that goes between heaven and earth, and this guy finds it. But what has to happen, he has to do things. You see how the devil is imitating God through these movies? But I watched this a long time ago, not recently. But anyway, something would happen, and part of that portal would turn. Well, when it turned, it's almost like a – have you ever watched people open an old safe? There's tumblers inside. When you stop at this one point, a tumbler goes down. Then it turns the whole thing around to the next place. A tumbler drops, and you turn it back this way. And what it's doing is turning all those rings. Well, that's what happened. I believe that's what's happening with us. There's a portal between heaven and earth, between mortal and immortality. And then there's a gate there. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And if we don't understand him, we're not going. But what happened was, as the guy went through his life, that thing would turn and it would catch. Well, when it would catch, it would take the second ring around. It would catch. And then finally, he got to enter in. You look at those things and you say, man, well, that's what kind of what's happening to us. We have to come to a position. Don't go out past the program of God. Come on. Brother Bram said, scrap heap of ministers. Stay in our place. Stay in our position. Stay in our revelation. Stay with what's going on now. Ever-present God. Listen, we know more about the future than the world does. We know more about the future than the world knows. You can listen to CNN, TNN, whatever you want to listen to. But we know more about what's going to happen, the reality of what's going to happen, than the world knows. So that's why we shouldn't have the fear that we have when people start jumping up and talking about nuclear and all this other stuff. Just... keep moving. Keep moving. Ephesians 1, verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us. Now look, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will. So that's us. That's now. He's chosen us in him, that we can understand now not just the Son of God, but the Son of Man. We understood why that man stood on earth and said what he did. Nobody else did. Even the apostles scratched their head a lot of times. So now let's go to the next part, and let's kind of rush through this a little bit, try to get done here in a minute. To the word obedience, that's what we were talking about the other day. Let's read a quote in 1963 from the token. The token is a sign that the purchase has been made, look, made and been accepted. Made and been accepted. You're born again, and then you have to come on into adoption or being accepted or moving further along. Part of the growth process. Listen, our problem is we're not obedient. Our problem is we're not letting him have total preeminence. That's our issue. And I'm talking about me, not you. You got to decide for yourself. But that's why we're still here. But what? Brother Brown says, look, the token is a sign that the purchase has been made and been accepted. Jesus on the River Jordan, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Didn't say, hear ye him. He had 3.5 years of a ministry to grow. The Bible said he grew in grace and knowledge and was obedient. He didn't bypass it. He had to go through it just like me and you go through it. But then you come to Mount Transfiguration. It's kind of funny that it had to happen on a mountain. That Jesus goes up on a mountain and God says, this is my beloved Son whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. Amen. It's time for you to listen to what he's going to say. And Brother Brown said 6 months later, he was dead. But that's what he was heading toward. He was heading toward Calvary. But obedience is part of your growth period. If Mordecai, or Morty, as we know him, if he's obedient, what's the first thing we do when our kids are not obedient? We punish them. We take something away from them. Well, I'm sorry, you don't whip them anymore. That's our problem. It is a problem. You're right. But anyway, if y'all whip them like we got whipped back when we was younger, y'all be in jail. We used to get beat with leather straps. Brother and sister, God bless you. Amen. I got whipped one time by a principal, and he happened to know the local barber. And that long piece of strap that hung down from the barber's chair that he sharpened his blade with, it met flesh one day. But I'll never forget it. I may not have remembered exactly what I did, but I'll never forget that whipping. Because, buddy, that leather strap was this wide and heavy, and when he went back, he didn't just go, okay, Johnny. No, it was the full force of a principal that was probably my size at the time. And that's the way God is. But he does it with nail-scarred hands. But he does give you a whipping because we are not, we're disobedient. And that's what we got to work on. Now, look, now you can't get the token from the railroad, as Brother Dale's always said. You can't go and get a ticket to the radio, to the bus station, and then go down to Atlanta to get on an airplane. Wrong position. Wrong revelation. It's going to be revealed to you, all right. When you get down to the airplane, to the Hartsfield, and you hand them a ticket for the thing that goes by here. What is that? Amtrak. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. Because you probably are. If you went down there with a ticket to the... What? It wrong place, wrong time. Amen. Wrong position. Right. You've got the wrong revelation. Right. But now the person that buys the ticket and says, oh, I got to be on the train at 7:45. You know what? They go to the train station. That's the same way with me and you. Now, you can't get the token from the railroad fare until you pay the price. And the only way you're going to pay the price is pay it. That's right. Believe it. Accept it. Full obedience to the whole word of God will entitle you to the token. Full obedience. Not the part of it as far as your denomination goes, but all of it. Full obedience to the word which is Christ brings you into Christ. Let's continue on. Full complete obedience. Scroll on down a little bit further. Full complete obedience puts you and the word one. Amen. The word was made flesh. Yes. That's you. Amen. We know it happened 2,000 years ago, but that happened 2,000 years ago so he could do it again. Yes. And me and you. You believe it every bit, and all of it's in you, and you watch it working through you. Yes. All right, let's continue on to the next quote, which is questions and answers. We'll read a few quotes here, and then we'll stop for a little while. We must look at stature and growth development. So let's go to questions and answers, 1964. And let's look at this. And this is another shocker that we know that. Let me kind of background for the people that haven't been here in a while and the new ones. Brother Branham's message started out in the 40s, 47. And he started a work of what? Restoration. Everybody okay with that? Restoring the church, restoring the order back, restoring worship back. He smacked the Pentecostals on the wrist and said, look, speaking in tongues is okay, but this is how you do it. Gifts of this is how you do it. He was putting the church in order. And he brought the people back to the faith of the Pentecostal fathers back in the first church age. Everybody with me? All right. Then he's got to take these babbling Pentecostal babies that he's got in his congregation, and he's trying to make them mature. He's going to feed them a little more meat instead of the milk that he's been feeding them. Everybody okay with that? And that's when we get to the seals where the prophet of God, that is the headstone message of that prophet. Remember, the messenger of Malachi 4 is to do two things. This is in the church age book. What? Number one, fulfill Malachi 4. Right? Hearts of the children back to the fathers. Right? And then number two, according to Revelation 10:7, he's to bring the seals, open the seals, and open up the thunders that will literally turn us back. What? It's going to literally turn this thing back. They didn't nobody get a body change in that first part of Brother Adam's ministry. But in the second part of his ministry, today, we're looking at a body change. We're looking at what we're going to read in probably another month now will be, to wit, the redemption of our body. Romans 8. But we got to get to this part first. We got to get to the... Everybody wants to get to that part. Everybody wants to go from kindergarten to teaching in college in 15 minutes or less. Not knowing that they got to go through school. They got to learn their ABCs. What? It's the same way in God. I told y'all a long time when we started this series. Look at your life. Look at life. And that's how God deals with you. There's no other way he can deal with you except how you can understand. I can't understand Brother Donnie. He lived a different life than I did. But God did because God was there with him. And God knows how to handle Brother Donnie better than I know how to handle him. Amen? So let God do it. Let him take us up that. Listen, he's going to have to pull us up that statue of a perfect man. He's not going to push us. Like I said last Sunday, have you ever tried to push a rope? It will not go where you want it to go. You push a rope and it'll go wherever it wants to, but you pull it and it'll go where you want it to go. So he's pulling us up that statue of a perfect man. But look at this questions and answers, 1964. They ask him, said, Brother Branham, are you the Son of Man? That's what the question is. I didn't put it on there, save time. But he says, I am not he. Now, what I tell y'all a long time ago when we first started this series, the characteristics of the Son of Man, is he was virgin born. That knocks everybody else out. Every prophet that ever come in the whole Bible were all born from sex. Brother Branham included. So he can't be the Son of Man. There's only one the Son of Man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ that was born without sex. Virgin born, okay? So let's knock that out. There's not another man then that's the Son of Man. But now collectively, the bride in the last end time is supposed to be the Son of Man, according to what Brother Brown said. Why? Because it's God in human flesh again. Back in a group of people, not in just one man. So Brother Brown was right. He said, I am a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man. And that's what his real message was. Now, we're not for our visitors, we're not the group of people that kicks out 47 to 63 and says, well, he didn't know what he's talking about. We're just going to take, no. 47 to 63, if you just jump up the rung of the ladder to 63 to see, you won't understand what he's talking about. That's going from kindergarten to being a tenured college teacher in 15 minutes or less. That's not the way it is. We take the whole message. I get seed in 47 and I get seed in 65. Amen? And I don't differentiate because God will take you to where you need to go. Amen? But he said, look, now watch. He said, I'm not he, I'm his servant. Look, and the pillar of fire is not he. Now you would think, but now listen. The characteristics of the Son of Man, though, is that is God in human flesh. The pillar of fire that stood between Brother Branham and all those people that he prayed for and discerned for, the pillar of fire they used to see all the time, that's not the Son of Man. Because it's not God in human flesh. That was a dispensation, folks. Now listen, that pillar of fire is inside of me and you now. That same anointing. Now not the prophet part, not the... And listen, we talk about discernment. Just looking at y'all's face, I can discern what you're thinking. I don't need to get into your brain. We're not getting anywhere. But there was a dispensation where the prophet of God stood and discerned people out. That was a dispensation to get the people to what? What did he say that was? He didn't say that was the message. He said that was the bait on the hook. What is the hook? The hook was the message. The bait was the signs and wonders. But it was supposed to turn the people to get them to listen to this message. Some did, some didn't. Still happening now. I mean, it's nice I think they put out a tape not too long, several years ago, of just Brother Brown's prayer line. And that's okay. But that ain't going to change you. That ain't going to take you to adoption. I'm sorry. It's not. Teaching is going to take you to adoption. The preaching of the gospel by a human mortal man is going to take you to adoption. But the pillar of fire is not he. It's in spirit form. The Son of Man is not in spirit form. Jesus was not in spirit form when he was on the earth. He was a human that had flesh like me and you. He hurt, he groaned, he ate, he cried, and he died. But it's in spirit form, which was upon the Son of Man, and has come now to anoint sons of men. To bring back a ministry just like he said it would be. Who's he? God. In order for the head and the rest of the body to connect together. Just like the pyramid. Look, here's the quote I want to get to. The headstone's yet to come. What is the headstone? It's the bride. Jesus is not going to be here in human flesh until the millennium, right? So where's he going to be? If the headstone's yet to come and it's coming and it's here, it's got to be in the bride. It's got to be in sons and daughters of God. And not a one-man show anymore. The headstone's yet to come. Let's go to Galatians 4. I'm going to fly through this real quick because I'm going to have to because this afternoon I got to get to something. So let's go to Galatians 4 verse 1 now. And I say that an heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant. All right. You're born again. That makes you a child of God. Everybody say amen or oh me, one of the two. Okay. The ones of you that are asleep can say it later. That an heir, as long as he's a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. What's he saying? He is not going to take that boy that's just being born. I can walk now. They got the cameras on. They're not going to take this boy. I'm not tethered anymore. Because I got a camera right back under now. Y'all didn't see that one. So we can run down this aisle further than we ever did before. I can get to the second pole. I think Brother Jewel got to the first pole. I'm going to get to the second pole one of these days. I just lost my thought. No, I'm just kidding. So when we come to the new birth, you become a son and daughter of God. You can't get out of that if you're born again. You can't get away from it. All right? God's not an Indian giver. All right? And I believe once saved, always saved, if you're really saved the first time. Amen? But not that you get saved and never show up in church again. It's a big difference there. But look, what did that say? That says he differeth nothing from a servant. God's not going to take you, though, when you get born again, and he's going to say, here's the car keys. Just like we did with Mordecai and Brother John's car keys that he about wrestled him down to get the car keys from. But, I mean, that's true, though. You take Mordecai as a newborn babe in Christ. He's got all the ability to drive. Eyesight, ears, hands, feet. But give him the keys to your car. Brother, you got your car today, right? Okay. I don't want to embarrass you. Some people fall out when you call them out. But there's a little boy back there, 9 years old. Can you give him your car keys and let him drive you home? That's the same way with God. And I was and literally, if his daddy's sitting beside of him back there, he's your son, right? He's not somebody else's son. Listen, God loves you to be a son. He loves you to be a child. But he don't love you to stay a child. I love my kids. They're 38. Oh. And my baby's 35. Well, she still lives at home. But anyway, that's not normal. I shouldn't have went there. But you think about, though, how you feel. Think about how I feel. But think about, pray for me. But think about, though, God having a child. And for 35 years, You stay in the same place. Think about it. Now, there's no way I can do away. I'm glad Hannah's not here. There's no way I'll do away with my daughter. She's my daughter. Regardless. She's got my blood and my wife's blood flowing through her veins. Right? Same way with God. You're just as eternal as God is when you become a son and daughter of God. But in this end time, there's a requirement that we grow up and not stay at home for 35 years. No! Grow up! Have a family! Get a job! Get out! Remember what I said? I hope Sister Gail's watching again, but Brother Dick, our old song leader, he's passed on now. But he told me, he said, I tell my kids, he said, remember two numbers, 18 and 30. When you're 18 years old, you got 30 days to get out of my house. Yeah, bro. Boy, say that again. Glory. But I'm going to tell you something, though. Brother Dick's got three of the best kids I've ever seen in my life. You know what, though? They made it on their own. Now, listen, God's not going to throw you out there and let you make it on your own. At least he's the father that's going to be with you all the time. So that's what's going to happen. But now when this child started in this kingdom, he was put with the servants. Though he be Lord of all. Though daddy knows that if he does everything perfect and everything right, he's going to get that kingdom one day. But he don't give him the kingdom at the time. Same way with God. We're put under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, now, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. We know that was Jesus Christ. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Daddy, Daddy, or Abba, Father, Father, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. All right, I've become a son now. He's separating me a little bit from the world because he's teaching me things. I've come to a position. It says, then an heir of God through Christ. Let's read these couple of quotes, and then we're going to have to stop because I got another hour left here. And we have church at 2 o'clock, so we can't do that. For those of you that travel. We do that. So let's read the next one. And then we'll set the basis for this afternoon. This is the prophet of God, 1954. He says, I just love teaching. Oh my, I think it's wonderful. It gives, look, the basis and settles the church. Why wouldn't you want to be in a church that was settled? Okay? I've been in some that weren't. They didn't have good teaching. Because what did Brother Brown say? Look, number 6, adoption series. Now, preaching usually catches the sinner. We believe in a fivefold ministry. There's no doubt. Y'all know we believe in a fivefold ministry. We have brothers come in that fulfill the fivefold ministry. All right? Now, preaching usually catches the sinner, brings him under conviction or condemnation by the word. But, teaching places a man positionally what he is. Now, that's what our mandate is. Positionally place us. And we can never rightly be able to have faith until positionally we know where we are or what we are or where we're supposed to be. Let's skip that next quote. Read this other one. Magicians, come on. We'll get to the three stages of adoption this afternoon. But let's read this quote number 8, which is the next one after 7. Keep going. It's kind of a long one. Number 8. All right. Now, what is adoption? Now, let me get this now. I don't know whether I won't have time to get through this, but I'll hit it. Then if there's a question, you can ask me a little later on something in the message sometimes. Listen, your adoption is not your birth. Your adoption is not your birth. Your adoption is your placing, and that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. Placing, how that Joshua placed the people in the promised land, how he placed all those children of Israel, as we were talking about last night. What a wonderful analogy that there was two tribes and a half tribe stayed on this side. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And in those three ages, Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, there was no way they could come to adoption. But there was a half tribe of Manasseh that went on over into the promised land. Now, what is the promised land? We know it's the Holy Ghost, but it's also where they were placed. And their placing, we were talking about this last night, you know how they got placed? Their mothers. At their birth. Screamed out their name. And Brother Brown said, that's where they were positionally placed. I asked him last night, I said, okay, your mama. Not your natural mama. Your spiritual mother. When she gave birth to you, she placed you. You just don't realize it yet. That's what happened in the natural, but also what happened in the spiritual. When you get born again, there's a placing, but maybe we haven't realized. Maybe it takes some good teaching, or maybe it takes some good preaching to bring that out and show you. Not where, maybe not even where you're going to be, but where you are. How many times have you looked at that dream that Brother Branham had about Brother Ed Biscoll? Remember the green checky shirt? Now, Brother Biscoll told us, personally, he said, I was in that vision for hours, hours, before I looked down and realized that I had on the shirt that the vision was. Now, what about me and you? We've been in this vision a long time. Let's come to a realization that we've had that green checky shirt on the whole time. Let's read the adoption series right here real quick. Your adoption is not your birth. Your adoption is your placing. When you were born again, John 1:17, I believe, when we're born of the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. But we were predestinated. Yes. Now, here's what I'm trying to get you to for the sons of the last day. We were predestinated unto adoption. Now here we are. Listen, this will hurt Pentecostal a little bit. This will hurt people in the message that stayed Pentecostal a little bit. Sorry. They say, I got born again, praise the Lord, got the Holy Ghost. Brother Brown said, fine. I'm not doubting that, he said. You're a child of God, that's right. But yet, that ain't what I'm talking about. Thank God for a southern prophet that can say ain't. But yet, that ain't what I'm talking about. See, you were predestinated unto adoption. Adoption is placing a son. Not the birth, but the placing. And he's given us the ability to be placed in the end time. We heard the end time message. We have now become the end time message. There is no other message besides this message. And we're a part of it. So what is it called? Our call is for adoption. Let's stand to our feet. That's our call. Not another one. It's our mandate to grow up in God.
Yes.
And come to full adoption. Amen. Where our name is as good on the checkbook as the Father's. I thank God for a prophet that told us. He said, now when you first get born again, he said, God signs the check. Whatever you need, you tell God what you need. He signs the check. Because you know what? If it ain't right, he ain't going to sign a check. I've told y'all many times, God's no's are the best yeses you ever get. If God tells you no, you better believe that there's something going to happen in your life that's going to go wrong, and God's already seen it because he's infinite. So his no is the best yes you'll ever get. But he'll come to a time that he'll say, that's my boy. That's my son. That's my daughter. They're acting right. They've come to a place where now I can give them gifts in the body. I can give them discernment and gifts of healing and all these other gifts. And then one day he's going to give us a gift of speaking the word. And the dead's going to come out of the ground. All our loved ones that have gone before, they're waiting on me and you. Adoption time, when God can pour in his fullness into me and you. Amen? I am the the resurrection and the life. Where is that at? That's inside of you. We're not waiting on Jesus to come back down here in human flesh to call for the dead saints to come out of the ground. We which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, not a toot, 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 toot. This is the trumpet. The shout, the voice, the trumpet. That's what we're living under now. You love him?
And renew a right spirit.
Let's worship just for a moment. Sing it to him. Create in me a clean heart. He's a creator. And he created a part of him. When you come to the new birth, he created. Sure, he created the world, but that same creator created inside of you a part of him. Genesis 1:26 is being fulfilled. He's got children. And he wants to adopt his children. He don't want to adopt the children of the world. He wants to adopt his own children. Come on, folks. That's the cry for today. Is to come to full adoption. So we must come to obedience. And we must give him preeminence. If not, then we're just going to stay here. We're just going to keep dying. We're just going to keep getting older. But our mandate is to give God preeminence in everything we do. Sing it to him.
Yes, ma'am. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me, oh, clean heart.
That's your sister. You're capable. But listen to her. Just listen to her. And then help her.
The Creator in me.
Sister is asking the Lord for her family. Lord, to have a family member, Lord, that's not doing right. And we know it's just the devil, Lord. So I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that when these cloths go on our sister, Lord, that it'll take that thing away in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our sister binds with me, Lord, that this thing's not going to harm us anymore, Lord. We're not going to have any fear of it anymore, Lord. We're going to be able to, Lord, just calmly walk in the door and do what we need to do, Father. We pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay? All right? Now, you believe it, though. Doesn't matter what comes. Don't matter what comes, what may. Doesn't matter what comes. Okay? Don't look at the circumstance. Okay? And we'll be praying with you.
Not away from the presence, Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
She also needs to be strengthened, Lord, even in her mental capacity for taking care of her sister, too, Lord. So we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will just help our sister, Lord. She stood faithful in playing the piano and doing the things she's supposed to do in this church. Now I pray, Lord, that you'll stand for her, Lord. And that whatever's going on in her heart, that she'll realize that you're the preeminent one in her life, Lord. We pray that you will continue to bless her, Lord, and give her strength in what she needs to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Doesn't matter if you don't feel it or not. Okay? Doesn't matter. You just continue on. Okay?
Oh, God.
Yes, sir.
And renew our right spirit.
Their head with oil. And Lord, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our brother, Lord, he's come to you, Father, and he's done what the word says. He's come and asked to do this. Now I pray, Lord, that you would sanctify our brother, Lord. That's what he needs, a good cleaning out, Father. And that you'll clean him out, Lord, and that you'll help him, Lord, in the time of trouble. That you'll be his pavilion, that, Lord, he'll look to you and not look to Satan. Lord, I pray that you would bless him now. Take away those spirits that are bothering him, Lord. I know we all have problems, Lord, but some more than others, Father. And we pray, Lord, we bind with our brother, Lord, that you'll take care of him, Father, in the rest of his journey, Lord, and that you'll help him, Lord. Fill him with the Holy Ghost so full, Lord, till he'll show it on the outside, Lord. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you take care of this for our brother, Lord. He's asking honestly, Lord. He's up here, Lord, wanting to hear from you, Lord. Now I pray, Lord, that he'll hear what he needs to hear, Lord. In the name of the Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hey, love you, man. Listen.
And renew a right spirit within.
From the presence, anyone else?
So, Lord.
Amen. Just praise him. Give him thanks. Thank you for what he's done. Thank you for what he's going to do.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Realize that God's here, folks. Touch our sister, Lord, in the times, Lord, when she's maybe a little lonely, Father, just come on the scene, Lord, and be the partner, Lord, that she needs. Be the strength that she needs. Be the rain, Lord, that'll rain down on our sister and give her, Lord, more than she'll ever want. So that's you, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. Amen. You just hang in there. You're good. All around. You're standing on it. You're standing on it. You. The mountain wasn't holy, but the God that was on the mountain was holy. Same way with you. Whatever you need. Oh, folks. Let us praise Jesus. Somebody got something this morning. I did. Amen. Our sister said she wanted it to just rain on her. Is that our desire? Just rain on me, Lord. Get me wet. From my head to my toe. Just wet me with the dew from heaven. That's what we're coming to, folks. We're coming to a place that God's not going to be silent anymore. He's going to manifest himself through us. Somebody is going to call for this thing, and it's going to happen. Why not me or you? Let's sing it one more time. You're dismissed. Oh, we are standing. Be back at 2 o'clock. On hold. Just now.